Welcome to Agent of Wealth Podcast with Mark Bowdus from Bowdus Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps small business owners and retirees overcome the multiple wealth planning challenges involved in your financial life. We do this by creating comprehensive wealth management plans to guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and help create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth planning issues involved in your financial life.
Hello and welcome to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Bowdus of Bowdus Financial. Today is part four of a series that Mark has been doing on last chance financial planning, and it's all about taxes and insurance this time. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. It is a beautiful day out, and I'm looking forward to the weekend. We're getting here toward the end of the week. Have you been productive this week?
It's been definitely been a productive week, but I am also looking forward to the weekend.
Nice. Nice. Any big plans?
No, not this weekend.
All right. Relaxation.
That's before the holidays. My favorite type of weekend.
Yeah. Before the holidays hit, we got to get a little rest.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we starting today with our podcast?
Yeah. So like you said, this is the fourth episode in a series. And the first three episodes, we covered investments, retirement, health, any changes that you may have experienced throughout the year, and then what financial planning topics correlate to those and what you should be thinking about by the end of the year. So in this episode, we're going to cover taxes and insurance.
All right. Let's go.
So, all right. So before we start, I want to you hear a lot from people like Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey about cutting expenses, and they'll talk about cutting out that daily Starbucks coffee or eating out less. And those do have actually a big impact overall if you look at the amount that you spend over a lifetime on those.
Yeah.
For example, on your daily coffee, if you look at the opportunity cost and if you didn't spend that, it adds up to about $130,000 in lifetime savings. And then if someone eats out and spends $240 a week, it actually comes over a lifetime to about $1.2 million if you add in, if you actually took that money and invested it or saved it in for retirement.
Wow, and that's a huge number.
Yeah, it's both are a huge amount. But if you look at it, and if you look at, okay, I want to cut expenses and really focus on what I should be, where can I make the biggest change? What do you think the expense that all of us spend the most amount of money on? Is there a mortgage or food?
Boy, I'll tell you, on an average, I would say that, I would call it probably rent or mortgage, depending on your situation. It's probably what you spend the most money on.
It's actually taxes. So when you look at it, we depending upon what tax bracket, how much income you have, you could spend 20, 40, 50% of your income on taxes. So if we're going to focus on one area where we can really make a difference, make a big difference in our finances, that's probably the best place to look at, to at least start with.
Yeah, Mark, when you bring that up, it's so funny because I think of spending money, like you said, I'm going out to eat and I hand over my money and I get my food. I go to Starbucks, I hand over my money, I get my coffee or whatever, go to the movies, right? We don't physically go and hand over our money with taxes usually. Sometimes you do, depending on your situation, but for the most part, it's just gone.
Yeah.
So you don't see it, so you don't think about that. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So like you said, we don't think about it, but, and often what happens is, we file our taxes in April. So maybe February, maybe March. And even some people, it's April 14th. We start thinking about taxes, start gathering things. And often at times it's a scramble and get everything over to the accountant, to the CPA, and taxes get filed. But what I'm really proposing is take some time now to really strategize and see what types of improvements you can make. Actually, especially now, or especially this year, because of the tax changes that were passed last December, whether you're a small business owner, an employee at a company, or even a retiree, these tax law changes are going to affect everyone.
And if you're listening to this podcast right now, we are probably about mid-holidays, because it does take just a little bit to process this podcast and get it out there. So time is critical for you. So have a listen to what Mark is saying and get somebody in your corner to help you out with this, or just to be able to answer your questions.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you want to be on the same page. You want your financial advisor, your CPA, and you and any other professional to all really work together and figure out, what strategies, what changes, or what should you be doing with your taxes to really, maximize or minimize the impact of having to pay them. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, we build a, when I sit down with someone and we work on a financial plan, we'll look at investments, we'll look at goals, we'll look at estate planning, charitable giving, retirement planning, cash flow, budgeting, any assistance to loved ones like gifting or saving for education. But taxes cut across all these. Mm. And, it can really make or break your financial plan. So, I can't hit home and hammer home enough that it's definitely something critical that we all should be looking at.
Definitely.
So with this podcast, we're going to cover a couple of strategies that I think some of them are definitely related to the new tax law, but some are just ones every year that we should be thinking about. And really, hopefully it's going to be general strategies, and it definitely makes sense to sit down and go over them with your CPA, with your advisor, to see if they do pertain to you. But they will help improve a tax situation.
All right. So how many strategies are we talking about today?
We're going to cover three.
Okay, great.
And the first one we're going to talk about is bunching deductions. Hmm. Okay. So, when we go and pay our taxes every year, we're allowed to claim various tax deductions that enable us to reduce our income and obviously pay less taxes that we normally would have. And these deductions are allowed by the IRS, and they encourage activities like charitable giving, or they act as subsidies to things like to buying a home and taking out a mortgage. But with the new tax law, it's important to properly plan for these deductions because there have been some changes with them. So in 2017, when we all filed taxes for that year, we had the option of taking a standard deduction, which was $6,350 if you were filing as an individual, or $12,700 if you filed as a married mm-hmm. couple. So what that means is, right off the top, you're able to pay taxes on less income than you would have if you didn't take that deduction. In 2018, with the new tax law, it actually is almost doubled. So now you can take $12,000 as an individual or $24,000 mm. as a married couple. So what the IRS is trying to do is trying to funnel as many people through this standard deduction and not having to itemize, which we'll cover in a second, mm-hmm. And really take the standard deduction and simplify the filing of taxes.
Got it.
But if your deductions are over that $12,000 or $24,000 for 2018, you can itemize them and theoretically take a bigger tax deduction. So, but the problem is a lot of those tax deductions that we were able to itemize are now gone. So the IRS mm-hmm. removed them or disallowed them and doesn't allow us to take them. So one option, which I mentioned, or one strategy, is this bunching of deductions. So what we do here is we want to take – we're basically going to flip-flop every other year. So one year we're going to take the standard deduction, and then the next year we're going to basically maximize as many deductions that we can itemize, and then take more of that, a larger deduction in that year. Mm-hmm. So what that means in how we actually do that is you postpone deductions one year and then you accelerate them in the next year. So one option is if you are making charitable contributions. So instead of evening them out and making something, let's say the same charitable contribution every year, you're going to double up in one year and not make it the next year. If that makes sense on how to instead of, we're always looking to spread or even out our expenses or our deductions in the bunching strategy, we're actually doubling in one and minimizing in the other. Now, you can also do this with things like medical expenses, your state income taxes, and property taxes. And some of these expenses, you're not able to, we don't have control of when we pay our mortgage, mm-hmm. right? But you do have some flexibility in how you pay your property taxes, how your state income taxes are. And even if it's not that you're not paying in one year, it's that you're using that basically end of year to accelerate some of the expenses one year and then the next year you're going to postpone them into the following year. So the bunching of deductions is definitely a strategy that you should bring up to your, if your CPA doesn't bring it up or if your advisor doesn't bring it up, it's one that you should discuss with them.
So let me just clarify for my own brain here and for people that are thinking about this in the audience. Let's say you give charitably and you give $500 a month to a specific charity in your town or in your neighborhood, and that's something that you do to support them, and then you're also giving to your church through your tithe and offering and things like that. And let's say that's $1,000 a month for that. So you've got $12,000 to the church, you've got $6,000 to another charity, so there's $18,000. And then you've got, some other deductions, some other things out there that are going to total well over $24,000. You're saying that if you hold off on those, so the first year you take the standard deduction of $24,000 if you're married, and then mm-hmm. you don't give to those charities, you don't give to the church at that point, you just hold it off until January of that following year. You give your lump sum, if you will, to your church that you saved up from the previous year. You give to that charity that you've been saving up from the previous year. And then you give throughout that year to your church and to that same charity. Now you've given double in that year. So that what was it, $18,000? That $18,000 that you had given to the charity and to the church now it's doubled to $36,000 because you're putting it all in one year.
Exactly. So what in this example, what it comes out to is you'll take the $24,000 one year and then the $36,000 the next year instead of mm-hmm. just 24 and 24. So it's a way that in every other year you can increase the amount of deduction that you do get.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying.
So we're going to jump into strategy two, which is harvesting tax losses for the year. And this one isn't related to a change in the tax law, but it's one that we really all should look at if we have investment accounts or any type of asset that we've experienced a loss in. The government allows us to deduct up to $3,000 a year for any capital losses that we receive.
Okay.
Here's an example. And actually, this is really becoming more relevant with the recent market volatility we saw in October. You may look at your account and you may see some investments that you do have a loss. And what a capital loss really is that if you purchase something at one price, and if you look at it now, the price of it now, it's either more or less. If it is worth more than what you purchased it, it's considered a capital gain. However, if it's worth less, it's considered a capital loss. Mm-hmm. And if you do sell that investment, you're able to take a deduction on your taxes for it. So let's say someone bought Apple stock for $100 and now it's $90. If you sell it before December 31st, you're able to take that $10 and deduct it on your tax return up to $3,000 for the year. And if you do have more than $3,000 in capital losses, you don't actually lose them. What you do is they carry over into the next year. So you can use them for the next year for the deduction, or also what they're used for is you can net them against any capital gains. So if you did have a capital gain, your losses would offset having to pay tax on them.
Got it. Okay.
So the action item here is go through your investment accounts, look at what you've purchased your investments for, what they're currently worth now, and then make that determination whether to sell them or hold on to them. And if you do sell them, you can buy the investment back. However, you do have to wait 30 days before buying it back. Otherwise, you lose that ability to deduct it on your tax return.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's a simple strategy. It's one that's very easy to do, but one that we all should be looking at.
All right.
Okay, so the third strategy is to rethink some of the previous tax strategies that may not hold true anymore after the new tax changes. So for example, one theory was when you retire and you start withdrawing money, you want to pull from your retirement accounts last because of the tax deferral. Now, what we want to look at now is with tax rates at historic lows, it may make sense to implement the strategy called filling up the tax bucket. And what we do here is we'll withdraw as much as we need to from the IRA or from the tax qualified retirement account until we get to the top of your tax bracket bucket, and we withdraw just enough from that IRA to not go into the next or the higher bucket. And once we get to that point, what we would do is then start withdrawing from the regular taxable account. So your withdrawal strategy may change also with the new tax rules. Mm-hmm. Also another norm or thinking that we had with finances was buy as much house as you can afford. Mm-hmm. So the previous thinking was buy as big a house as you can because you're going to get to deduct the mortgage interest, the property taxes. However, with the new state and local tax limitations, which are up to $10,000 a year, mortgage interest so the mortgage interest that we're able to deduct in conjunction with rising interest rates, the federal government's no longer subsidizing home ownership as much as they have previously. Mm. So those are two things that, you know, we may have thought this is the way that we should do things. However, with the new tax changes, we may want to reconsider them.
Got it. Yeah. Definitely have to take a look.
Yeah. I guess the last thing on taxes that I wanted to cover were business owners. So there are changes to taxes for businesses as well. So these are not just individual, you know, individual tax changes. If you own a business, there's definitely been some tax changes here also. Mm-hmm. So there's what you're able to deduct, what you're able to depreciate, that's all changed in these new tax rules. So the first change is that the corporate tax rate is now 21% and the corporate AMT has been eliminated. So you're allowed to, and that's the corporate tax rate. If you are a self-employed business owner, you may be allowed to take up to a 20% deduction for qualified business income. Mm-hmm. So dependent upon how you're structured and what a lot of business owners are looking at, whether they're regular corporations, whether they're S-corps or regular their LLCs or however they're structured, you do want to take a look at it and see if there is a way that if you change your corporate structure, could you realize a tax savings by doing that?
Yeah. And Mark, can you tell us what is corporate AMT?
The AMT is an acronym for alternative minimum tax. And what this, I guess, in its simplest sense is if in, as a corporate or it's also on the individual side, if you earn over a certain amount, you lose certain deductions and have to pay mm-hmm. an increased tax for earning that over that certain amount. So I guess at its simplest sense, it's an additional tax on high income earners or high income businesses.
All right.
We're going to segue into insurance. You know, this is the series about year-end financial planning. Mm-hmm. We all should really look at our insurance policies at least once a year. You know, whether you do it at the end of the year, beginning of the year, anytime, it's really another good exercise that we should do to see if there is any way that we can better our insurance situation. You know, we're talking about life insurance, disability, auto on your homeowner's policy, long-term care, any business policies that you may have. You really want to look at every single type of insurance that you have. And, you know, I'll come across some people that have tens, 20s, 30 different policies. And what happens is it's very easy to purchase an insurance policy. You set up to pay the premiums on auto pay every month or every quarter or every year, and years go by and you never look at these policies and see if there can be any improvements made on them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are a couple things that you should be on the lookout for. So the first is insurance companies change rates. What may have been the best rate when you initially got the policy is no longer the cheapest or the best type of coverage for you. Mm-hmm. It does make sense to shop. There may be another company now that's offering discounts that the company that you currently have the policy with does not offer. And like a specific example, your personal situation may have changed. So you increased your net worth, increased your assets, and it may make sense to get an umbrella policy to have that extra liability mm-hmm. coverage. So mm-hmm. you want to look at what's your financial situation now, what's your exposure, what's your liability if something did happen. So it's definitely an area that you want to look at as well.
Mark, going back to the policy that you've got on auto pay, let's say you've got a 10-year policy, be it term as just the example. You've got a 10-year term and it's one price the entire time, right? Mm-hmm. But then that 10-year comes up and you just kind of don't see the mail that comes to you. I'm sure that they're legally bound to send you something to tell you that it's, you know, the rates are going to go up or whatever. If after that 10-year term, if it continues and they change the rates and they up the rates, does that still get automatically taken out of your account?
So in this specific example, the answer is no. It would be it's a separate policy that you'd have to agree to. It's more along the lines of like your homeowner's policy or your auto policy mm-hmm. where it's just going to keep renewing until you either tell it to stop, you know, or you proactively go to the insurance company and ask them to review it.
Got it. Yeah. I fear people being out there just having things on auto pay and all of a sudden the amount has gone up, but they're not aware of it. And they're automatically paying more and more and more every month, you know, for different things. And that happens in all sorts of industries, not just insurance. It makes sense to pay attention.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Okay, but you did bring up the topic of term life insurance. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to review with that was, a lot of times if you work for a company, they have a benefits package. You get offered, sometimes they'll have a baseline term coverage that they offer, mm-hmm. and a lot of times the employer will cover that. But then they offer supplemental insurance to increase the amount of that life insurance coverage. What you want to do is before just accepting it and saying, okay, I'll take that coverage, you want to compare that with what it would cost to get an individual mm-hmm. life insurance policy. And the biggest reason is that if you're part of a group coverage, the way the insurance company prices that is they group everyone, they take an average of everyone's health, and that's how they price the group coverage off of that. If you're healthy, if you're not a smoker, you probably can get a cheaper coverage by getting an individual policy. So you do want to review what your company, your group benefits are versus if you did get them, by yourself, what they would be.
Yeah, you don't want to be lumped in together with that one IT guy that sits there and chain smokes and eats hoagies all day.
Exactly.
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Another one where things may have changed is disability insurance. So when you first got a disability policy, you may have been earning a certain amount of income. However, your income may have increased over the years. Your expenses may have increased mm-hmm. over the years. The need for disability insurance may increase as well. So you want to look at whether it makes sense to take out a new policy or if your existing policy allows you to increase the amount of coverage without having to take another medical exam. So you do want to look at your options with that as well. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the last type of insurance was long-term care. So this is one that, we all don't want to think of getting old and needing that.
Yeah, but
it's
so important. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's really important.
Especially with the boomer generation mm-hmm. aging and living longer, the need for caregiving, the need for long-term care is just going to increase. And there are different ways to cover that. There's a straight long-term care insurance policy. Now what's becoming more popular are people are combining it with a regular life insurance policy. That way, if you wind up not needing the long-term care insurance, it would become a death benefit as part of the life insurance policy. And you wouldn't lose the premiums that you've paid for it.
I didn't know that was an option. That's great.
Yeah, it is. It's becoming more and more popular. And, long-term care is, the most interesting type of insurance because we're finding the insurance companies don't even want to offer it anymore. They're mm-hmm. not sure how to price it. They're like I said, people are living longer. It's definitely something that we all should think about.
Yeah.
And, the theme with all this insurance review is similar. You, once a year, put it in your calendar, review all your insurance policies, talk to your insurance broker, talk to your advisor, and see if there's anything you can improve with them. It's a simple step. It takes 15 minutes to proactively, make that call to the broker, make that call to the advisor and say, is there anything that, can you do a review on my policies? And, doing that, you can save thousands of dollars.
Yeah, there are very few industries where this applies because if you think of it, think about you having a car. If you've got a 2016 car and you're paying $400 a month, what are the chances that you can go and talk to the dealer and say, hey, do you have 2018 cars or 2019 cars that are cheaper and will give me more benefit?
That's true.
They just don't, right? It just usually doesn't. But with insurance, it is something where all of a sudden, a couple of years later, a company is putting on they put some things together and it's a better price. It's better coverage, whatever it is. And a lot of times you can get out of the policy that you're in because you're not locked in and you can just change to something that's going to benefit you and your family more. So that's definitely something you should be looking at every year, if not twice a year.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. So in wrapping up and closing, what have you got for us today?
Yeah, so this was the fourth and the last episode of this series for year-end financial planning. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in the you know, going back, the first three episodes in this are, you know, are on wherever you hear the podcast on. What we're going to do is we're going to segue into our next series, which is all going to be about financial freedom, passive income, and we'll call that the holy grail of finances, getting to that, you know, where we can all stop working or work however we want to. Yeah. And not really have to worry about that money coming in.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that series. I could use a little bit of that. Not that I don't like doing the podcast with you, Mark. I love it, but yeah, it'd be nice to be able to look back on my lifetime somewhere on a boat or a beach. I just love water. Yeah. So that's where I want to be. Great. Well, I thank you for your time today. It was great information. Again, everybody out there that has questions, please contact Mark. Contact his office. They've got answers for you. And better yet, they work with professionals all around their community. And if they don't have the exact answer, they know who to get involved so that you can get the answer to your question. Thanks again, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Bowdus. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. It also makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Bowdus Financial, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Bowdus Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment and financial planning.